One important thing what I try to emphasize everywhere, don't think too much about technology. If we have money, if we know what to do, we can find technology. But the problems, 90% problems in government is cooperation between different building blocks and different ministries. And this is much more complex than building technology.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Hello, my name is Hannes Astok. I'm Executive Director of eGovernance Academy, and I'm happy to host in today's Digital Transformation Podcast my dear colleague Arvo Oit, who is Director of Technologies in eGovernance Academy and has been working in eGovernance Academy already for 18 years. So Arvo, welcome first, and happy to see you here. And let's discuss today a little bit about how digital government management has changed during the last 20 years. Actually, your history is much longer. You started almost 30 years ago in Estonian government as a first CIO and has your very much own experience from those years, but now you have been consulting globally for the last 20 years also. So let's start from the question that is the digital government leadership still as it was 30 years ago in Estonia when Mart Laar was like a key leader to introduce digital in Estonia?
Yeah, okay, maybe I start from terminology because it's always good to start to explain what we think about the use of technology in government. And it seems to be also that popular names are popping up somehow from different fields. And today we are talking about digital transformation, but like 25 years ago, we started from just simply talking about computers and networks, and then one minister was asking, okay, we have now computers and networks, what we should do? I heard that people are saying that now we need to start programming. And I told, yes, programs are also needed. So from other side, it's like understanding from government sector that I got also some message from one leader in Estonia saying that, okay, we have legislation in place, please read laws. And then you can just implement something. But yes, from terminology, we were talking about the use of technology in government in 90s. Then it was starting to talk about electronic Estonia, e-Estonia, e-Europe, information society, and all those things. And today, maybe last five or a little bit more, we just talk about digital transformation, which is a process. And then how government is like working with digital transformation, it's also slightly changing. But the main issue is, of course, that all the ministries are very vertical and how to cooperate and how to make changes in government processes. And it seems to be a complex story. And historically also, maybe we can ask a few like general questions, how much political will influence those stories, and is it money which is influencing all the stories, and is strategy or policy important? And I would say that also in Estonian government we were not starting immediately from policies and strategy, but mostly about focusing on some practical issues to be solved. And this was starting from like will from government side, from Prime Minister office historically in 1993.
But in 1993, how you called the digital government, or how you called it what you made? Was it e-government?
I was first person in Estonian government having this role of coordination, and I had tasked to figure out what it is about. But we called it simply computers and technology. And internet was not widely spread this time yet, and then first computers were starting to be like implemented in ministries. But I, after my work in business sector, I had computer knowledge already before, long time before, but I got typewriter, just simply not computer. And after 2 months, I got first computer in state chancery, which was like good story. But this was a time where ministries were starting to get computers and put to computers together to join some local networks. And it was like very practical, but it still needs some cooperation and coordination. And this was, I mean.
Yeah. So we have saying in Estonia that nice baby have many nice names. So it's probably doesn't matter are we calling it digitalization of a government or e-government or digital transformation. All are good names and probably relevant in certain period of time when we were working. But tell me, Arvo, a little bit, at the beginning of 90s, when it all started globally, not only in Estonia, but computerization of a government started globally. So so what was the kind of leadership model around digital government in Estonia in those years? Was it some unit what was formulated and who was leading it or who drives the change? Was it officials or politicians in those years?
This was like my first task, just to figure out how it should be done. And we were flying to Great Britain to learn how they are doing and listening to our neighbors Finland and Sweden and trying to understand what it is. And the main like philosophic question is that are we talking about coordination or management? And the Estonian model, and when I started my department in state chancery, it was called, after a few months of my work, it was named Department of State Information Systems, which is like, now it's like more closer to CIO office, which is in Estonia. So it's, but the tasks were not very clear because this was end of the mainframe computer period and mainframe computer technology is very much centralized. So that's why this all the management was centralized in some data center and mostly they were processing population register type of systems. But in Estonia, we started from non-mainframe area and then starting from
Personal computers.
Personal computers, yeah. And it means that we had to figure out how to make procurement for ministries, how to help ministries, how to figure out these basic databases. Very soon it was starting to think about electronic identification. It was end of 90s and then the practical need to exchange data between different existing systems.
But I'm returning to my question. Yeah. I'm still asking it, but how it was like a driven this process? Was it like politicians who were like giving you a task and they have bright ideas, or was it you like a government officials who were driving it and providing the good ideas to the politicians?
Yeah, I would say that of course we are talking about political will, and in the beginning it was very pragmatic and practical need. And it was coming from like private sector was driving force as well. Banks were showing that something is needed. And I would say that we had maybe in Estonia politically driven few projects. One, I can say it's Tiger Leap, maybe.
It was like a computerization of schools and universities.
Exactly. And some other those big actions. But I would say that political will is needed very much if we are planning budgets. If the will is not existing, quite often we saw in some years that the budget for IT was pretty minimum or less. And then new leaders were coming and saying that, okay, we need to just focus more on some service for citizens or something else. And then we found that the budget were a little bit more. But it's, I would say that the political will cannot be too much exaggerated. So it's like it's needed, but there are so many practical issues that should be solved that it's like simply common sense. But now we are of course saying that political will is important and driving.
But you managed. I think you said like underlined that Political will is very much needed to drive the changes. Mm. Political will is needed to have a good budget. Mm. And also political will is needed also like to submit the legislation and do the things. Maybe not prepare the legislation. This is work of the government officials, but push it through the parliament also. In some countries, it might be the challenge. So most probably we cannot live without political wills. But you said that at the beginning of 90s or in the middle of 90s, it was good balance in Estonia. So politicians were listening, government officials, and government officials were providing good information for the politicians.
Yes, I would say, and there are many, many very pragmatic issues which should be solved. And it's clear that you need digital data, you need some registers, you need to have like infrastructure between those things. So it was pretty pragmatic. But later on, of course, it was labeled more on like how to implement. And then I would say why it's a question of management is that when we use technology, it needs some changes in government processes, and something should be done together. And that's why somebody should coordinate those issues. And coordination from one ministry might be more complex than from like some neutral body which is close to prime minister. So that's why.
Okay, but let's make clear what is the difference in digital government between coordination and management.
I would say that in ministry level management, it's more like rules and focusing on very like direct projects and setting up of infrastructure. Coordination is more like to have a friendly agreement between all the players from different ministries with the different ministers. And then you can't use too much power to push them, but you need to motivate them in some way, just using budgets or the laws. And somebody should be just competent enough just to make this change. And it should be very like friendly mechanism for cooperation.
But you say that, to illustrate it, in the ministry, let's say there is a Ministry of Social Affairs in one country, they have probably huge social information management systems. So now if this information should be shared with other institutions like local governments, most probably where we need a coordination, we need both technical solutions, but we need also coordination in the level that what kind of information should be shared and how it should be done, like using X-Road or other good solutions. And this is what one government unit, what is probably e-government unit, should do. That not that much manage technically how it's done, but to reach the agreement between the ministries and agencies and municipalities, how to use the data.
Exactly. There's like, of course, for coordination, there are usually two tools. One is the law and second is money. But in addition, you need to have like good framework to discuss those things and make decisions. And the decisions quite often are not like laws, but like agreements that we try to do in this way. We have ECOV architects, for example, and then we agreed that this is our aim and we try to follow it. And
but what are those coordination mechanisms? Tell us. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, I think, for our listeners also that it doesn't mean that one way how it could be usually approached is that we described in very detailed regulations how the work should be done in between various institutions. And then we are sending those instructions down to the ministries, agencies and municipalities and waiting if something is happening. And usually not that much is happening, as I understood from my own experience also. So the other model what you are describing is that people are coming together, agreeing how to make the things happening, and maybe later, if needed, when they also put it to the regulations.
Yeah, exactly. And we were happy to have this second model in Estonia because this time not all the laws were very exactly in the place, and it was some flexibility. What I saw in my practice is that lawyers can say to technology guys that, okay, you should wait, we have a right law for you. And technology guys are saying that we don't know what to regulate yet because we need to make exercises before. And from international practice, what I learned is that there are some countries who made this pretty big mistakes to over-regulate everything. And it stops innovation. somehow people doesn't understand why this all these details are needed, and then some flexibility is not in place anymore, and then it's like you are not reaching. So you might have very exact academic very good regulations, but nothing happens very much.
So it's something like actually today we see in startup world that startups are usually going to areas what is almost not regulated. Let's take this Bolt scooters, what we have almost globally in every city, and they were not regulated at all. So basically they started like in wild world, and now after there is experience that we don't need to allow to left to scooters everywhere in the street because they are like disturbing pedestrians. So now we need more regulated, but only after we have learned what we need to regulate, that where it should be a parking lots, or where it could be areas where we don't drive the scooters, or where areas where we cannot park the scooters. And so not to pre-regulate, but rather learning by doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very happy that it was like the model in Estonia, what we did. Of course, we got critics from different sides. Also one not exactly related law, but laws or legislation related issue. But we got first policy paper only in 1998. I started 1993. So we made many practical steps before we were writing some strategies. And critics was coming from political level saying that how you can work without a strategy or policy. But I would say that we had a model that we had development-driven policy, not policy-driven development in first years, because it's clear in any way what you need. And we saw many countries, they have academically excellent strategies and policies, but not really much happening. So you need, in addition to policies, also proper organization, budgets, and good plans. And if this is not existing, then no sense to make like big policies.
But we have now listeners globally who are listening our podcast, and most of them have studied in the School of Public Administration or something like it, and they have talked that there should be first strategy, when it should be policy, and when it will be implementation. Mm-hmm. So what those guys, our friends globally, should do now? Either they need to write the strategy, what will take 2 years until it's approved, when it's to make a policy, what takes another year, and then they can only start the actual actions. So what is not probably relevant again?
Most countries we are working have already some policies. It's another question who was writing it. And we believe strongly that this should be paper written by the experts and people from the same country, not from outside. Somebody can, and what e-governance academy is doing, we are moderating the process. We know what usually is like important in policies. So most probably they have already some policy or strategy guidelines, but most important in the story is that to set up some organization who can implement it, who says that this is my document, this is what I plan to implement, and then the next phase is how to make these action plans. Sometimes those action plans are financed from a donor, sometimes by the state budget, but then it's a very concrete plan with budgets and ownership and responsibilities. And then you can just, in a coordination level, can monitor how it's implemented. But there are many basic building blocks in those countries we are working are not in place yet. Somehow I was thinking 20 years ago that, okay, that this time is over, that we can advise how to make population register somewhere, because everybody has it already. But in practice, we still see that population data management is most cases not in place in developing countries, or something is like missing in this story. And those big building blocks, population data management, real estate data, and business data. And those are main pillars. And then you can, of course, start to put them together in some way in interoperability framework or architecture, and then figure out how to build this electronic identity tool. So main pillars, and it's like not so much political question, but because a very pragmatic you need this for your country's management.
Yeah, we have seen in many countries that there is a Minister of Digital Transformation, like we call it today. Earlier it was Minister of ICT or something like it. Estonia never have had a Minister of ICT or Digital Transformation. So tell us a little bit about those models and why Estonia didn't have this kind of ministry, and why it's maybe good in some countries to have this kind of ministry.
Yeah, this is question about culture and politics and how to organize governance. It's like basically main three models what I saw. It's like one is like a coordination is close to a prime minister or president who has some coordination function anyway.
An executive power,
Which is might be on also not too political question, but it's like coordination. Second model is that quite many countries have this task in Minister of Finance, because Minister of Finance is having coordination functions between ministries anyway somewhere, because it's a finance planning.
And it's usually Minister of Financing and Public Administration or something like altogether.
And this is example still I think in Finland and many other countries, and it's like one obvious place where coordination can be done, because it's one tool is money. And then several countries have some ministers, like from Singapore they had like Ministry of Culture or Arts. In practice every ministry have something to do with the technology. Yeah. But several countries decided to have separate ministry. But we saw also that in some cases this ministry appears and next political situation they disappear or just move to another ministry. But if there is strong political leadership from one ministry, it might be of course good, but it should be very stable. Because e-government or this digital transformation is not a question of 3 years or 5 years, it's much longer. And its stability is so important. If this ministry disappeared or have not enough strong power or possibility to coordinate, then it's not working.
I think from my experience, what I learned from the countries where they have this kind of ministry, where like a strong side is definitely that there is a concentrated political will is in place and drive to make changes, and especially like build up strong and solid infrastructure of digital government, including data exchange, digital identity, strong databases, and so on. So having like someone who is really like having clear view about infrastructure and having clear view what to do. But at the same time, if this ministry, what is the risk that if this ministry like trying to solve all digital problems of a country, it will be probably dead end, because the usual business processes are in other ministries. Like Ministry of Education knows what are the business processes and digitalization of the education sector. Ministry of Healthcare is responsible for the healthcare sector. Minister of Agriculture is responsible for the agricultural sector, and only they know what to do. And if this Ministry of Digital Transformation is too strong, other ministries are coming to the Prime Minister and telling that why don't those guys are making our solutions? So there should be, even if there is a ministry, but this might be a good idea, there should be a balance what they are doing and what they are not doing. And also like probably we need to motivate, encourage, assist other ministries to do the things, but let the final responsibility about the sectorial solutions to those ministries.
Exactly. And this was happening in some cases where from our experience also that, of course, those main shared services and the main building blocks for interconnection, this should be done together. And it's good that if one ministry is taken care of. And this is when our academy is working, we try to understand who is doing what, and pretty good that to have it together. But then it's not possible to develop all the services from one. Even in very small countries like Estonia, in my understanding, it's not possible. oh, it is possible, but it's very, very, very slow. And this was a model in Estonia to all the implementation was like many of those processes, of course, are in the ministries and most of them. And then they are responsible on development also, those things which are under there.
Yeah. So it means that actually there is no model what one size fits all, but rather each and every country should select the model both based on their cultural, historical, legal background, but also current development phase and dependent on government model in general. But let's talk about a little bit about like cultural issues. My personal understanding during the last 15 years, I have been working closely with e-governance academy, is that also like a digital government or digital transformation processes implementation is very much cultural issue. There is no recipe what is universal to cook the e-government, because what we see in Estonia where are like maybe pragmatic agreements between government institutions are working, non-written ones, it may not work in other country where always all the agreements should be written down, or who are like key stakeholders of this general process to promote and support digital services rollout amongst the population. We have seen that in some countries there might be like church having strong influence also to those processes, either supportive or non-supportive, dependent on country. Where in another countries, maybe church doesn't have this kind of influence. So what is your experience about this kind of cultural issues and best lessons learned, what we can share with our listeners?
Yes, this is like, it's true that you are not able to copy model Estonian model to whatever other countries. So you should use some good examples and maybe some good frameworks and explanations, but not really copy. Yes, cultural differences are different countries in different ways, and sometimes it's very strictly like hierarchical management, which means that nobody is doing anything in lower level of the structure.
Without the initiative.
But at the end, it's quite often related to the motivation as well. Sometimes motivation mechanisms has been built in a little bit wrong way. Like we saw several countries where just the service provider is collecting money from citizens for issuing services, and the motivation for the service provider is keep all the data in their own hands and pockets because they are selling this
data. Selling data,
and they are in a monopoly situation, and it's not motivating to share data. And it's even maybe law is saying that you need to share, but they are not sharing because it's. Life is depending on selling data. And the second cultural issue might be that they are, how to say, expecting too much from foreign experts because they believe that some like wise guy is coming from Estonia and now I solve all the problems for them.
Now you are ruining our business, actually.
Yeah. but at the end, they need to do their own job anyway, and we can support. And it's the wrong expectations that somebody from outside, also in technology side, can solve the internal problems of cooperating between different ministries. So this is might be also cultural influence. Of course, we saw how meetings are starting in some countries, how it's organized, and sometimes it takes much more time. But sometimes it's good that they are listening and immediately implementing something, and it's different in different countries.
So basically, there is like a governance culture questions about how the things are moving in the government and what is allowed to do by someone's or not, is it allowed to think or not, even sometimes it looks to us. So, and then also who are like stakeholders who are influencing all this process, and then what are the rights of a government officials either to start the initiative or not, or how it should be coordinated. And definitely we are here in Estonia in pretty kind of open society where where initiative is usually promoted, not punished, probably there are exceptions also, unfortunately. But what we can encourage our dear friends in various countries that always the good initiative and also experimenting is broadly welcomed, but also like experimenting, is it allowed or not in the government? It's a good question, even in Estonia. My personal understanding is that experimenting should be allowed until we learn from the mistakes and until the experiments are not like a too large scale. Like if in the experiment whole population is involved, it might be too much. But we need to experiment because otherwise we don't know what we're going to do. And if we don't experiment, again, we kill the innovation, as we discussed earlier. So also in the field of e-government, I think we need to experiment because there is so many new technologies are approaching us and we don't know are they good or bad. Probably technology is not good or bad. Technology is neutral, but how people are using it, it's the question. And I think the same question what we have seen during last years, it's that we put maybe sometimes, or governments are putting too many bets to one or another new technology. When the blockchain technology appears, I think everyone was discussing about blockchain, what will solve all the problems of a digital government. Now we see that AI will solve all the problems. And a few years back when Facebook launched the metaverse, everyone was saying that the metaverse and will solve all the problems. But I still believe that technology is assisting us just to solve the problems. But people are those who are actually doing the changes and running the changes. And also, if needed, either using technologies or limiting the use of technologies. Because technologies, if they leave them alone more and more, they may do stupid things. And this is the risk of AI, definitely. I'm not against AI, but even if whatever question you are putting to ChatGPT, you are getting very nice answers what are usually silly. Because it's complaining something from existing data and what looks like pretty okay. But actually, if you're looking at the facts inside it, it's just ridiculous what it's producing. So this is a risk of AI, that if AI doesn't have clear rules, it may take us to somewhere what we don't want, or if we are leaving AI alone in this kind of decision-making processes.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering sometimes that somehow those popular terminologies, new terminologies, are just influencing behavior of people somehow. And sometimes who are talking, they don't know exactly what it is about, but they believe that this is solving all the problem. But one thing what is somehow related to the management and development process is that it's very good to avoid too big projects. And this is what we saw. Somehow it's a tendency that they try to make huge projects. What was different in Estonia, we didn't have enough money in the beginning.
To make a big project.
Yeah, two big projects. And we were just implementing most things. Now it's called agile type of development. So it means that you approximately know what you need. And also digital transformation is approximate, you know what you need. But you cannot do like huge projects and decide everything. You need to go step by step. Probably, and in Estonia also, we made many mistakes, but the mistakes were not too big. And it was not, if we had this time too much money, or not too much, but more money than we have, this time we probably started started thinking that let's do a big project, but it is dangerous also in political sense.
Sure, if a big project fails, it's probably big, some of the politicians fails.
A political problem, but also if you have too much money in one project in the state budget. Then, of course, budget negotiations say that, okay, let's maybe take a 50% from this project. And that's why it's decentralized budgets. And splitting it into smaller pieces is much more, much less risks and much more possibility to reach positive effects, because at least some of those big building blocks are successful. And this is what might be one of those messages also for the countries that don't think about too big project, but it's agile type of project development is key for many problems.
So wrapping up today's discussion with Varvo Ott, Director of Technologies in eGovernance Academy. So we see that during the last 25 years, technology has changed tremendously. We most probably cannot switch on the computer even or use it, what was used 25 years ago. So our smartphone is as powerful as whole computer or data center was 25 years ago. But the principles remain the same. Take it step by step, split the big elephant into slices and eat it slice by slice. So do the smaller projects rather than one huge one. Also, decentralized approach in digital government is still very much functioning because there is no super ministry in any country who can solve all the digital issues for the country. So it should be rather coordination, not the management of digital government in one or another country. And also the issue of political will still remains very valid because only politicians can drive the big changes to provide the resources for the big changes, both human resources and budget, and drive the changes in the regulation and legislation. But anyway, politician alone cannot do anything. There should be a good team in the government who is executing those changes and assisting politicians also to clarify what is needed to be done.
Yes, and maybe one important thing what I try to emphasize everywhere, don't think too much about technology. Technology, if we have money, if we know what to do, we can find technology. But the problems, 90% problems in government is cooperation between different building blocks and different ministries. And this is much more complex than building technology.
Yes, and what we have seen in eGovernance Academy during last 20 years, that in most of our projects, when we are planning how much we need to spend to technology, how much to various change management issues, it usually looks like that the cost of technology is like 30 to 40% of a total project cost, and the rest is actually going to change management, including like a developing understanding what we want at all, developing cooperation, developing architecture, developing terms of reference, implementing the things, and finally, like convincing government officials how you can use it, the technology what we were implementing. So the soft side of implementation is even more costly usually than a hard side, the technology. And this is what we need to keep in mind when we are planning any digital transformation project, small or big. So thank you very much, Arvo, for this great discussion, and thank you very much to our listeners, and welcome back to listen us again.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.